I would like for you to take your copy of the Word of God, and would you turn to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 15. We have been working our way through the Gospel of Mark, and we come to chapter 15. This morning, verses 15 through 26. Follow along as I read this passage. So Pilate, wanting to gratify the crowd, released Barabbas to them. And he delivered Jesus, after he had scourged him, to be crucified. Then the soldiers led him away into the hall called Praetorium, and they called together the whole garrison. And they clothed him with purple, they twisted a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and began to salute him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And then they struck him on the head with a reed, and they spit upon him. And bowing the knee, they worshipped him. And when they had mocked him, they took the purple off him, put his own clothes on him, and led him out to crucify him. Then they compelled a certain man, Simon a Cyrenian, the father of Alexander and Rufus, as he was coming out of the country and passing by, to bear his cross. And they brought him to the place Golgotha, which is translated place of a skull. Then they gave him wine mingled with myrrh to drink, but he did not take it. And when they crucified him, they divided his garments, casting lots for them to determine what every man should take. Now it was the third hour, and they crucified him. And the inscription of his accusation was written above, "The King of the Jews." It is interesting. Their sins that day led to the release of an evil man, Barabbas, the embarrassment of an innocent man, Simon, and the crucifixion of a good man, Jesus Christ. I've always thought to myself, if anybody understood the substitutionary death of Christ, Barabbas did. Can you imagine him, freed, standing there, looking at the cross that Jesus is hanging on and saying to himself, "That's where I'm supposed to be. He's dying in my place." Barabbas is the man who missed his cross. Simon is the man who carried his cross. And then Jesus died on the cross. From this passage this morning, I would like to focus on one particular person, Simon the Cyrenian. Not often preached on, but I think there are some things that will help us today to appreciate this man and what took place. We're going to study it in a simple way by looking at the importance of three words. So let me give you the first word: obedience. You'll notice it says about this man in verse 21, they compelled a certain man, Simon, a Cyrenian. So who was this man, and what was he doing in Jerusalem if he was a Cyrenian? By the way, if you do not know, the place where he's from is a place that is 800 to 1,000 miles from Jerusalem. It's a city in North Africa. That particular city where Simon is from is a seaport, and it had a large Jewish population, which we think becomes important here. This would have been a long, difficult trip for him to make all the way to Jerusalem. expensive to get there. He came 800 to 1,000 miles to the city of Jerusalem. Which begs this question. Why? Why was he there? We're not told specifically why he was there, but we gather that he had come because it was the Passover. Now keep in mind, as the Jewish people were scattered to different areas of the world, they of course took the Old Testament with them and they took the faith in Jehovah God with them. I assume that this man had had some contact with those Jewish people. It does not tell us, but we think he came to worship Jehovah God. He's from Africa, where they worship all kinds of idols. But the Jewish people probably had told him about Jehovah God and what he had done. And we're thinking that this man came to Jerusalem because it was Passover, and he knew that the Old Testament in the book of Deuteronomy says this: 3 times a year, this is those for the followers of Jehovah, 3 times a year, all the men are to appear before the Lord your God in a particular place, the temple. You are to come either at the Passover, or at the Passover, the Feast of Weeks, and the Feast of Tabernacles. This is Passover. So he has made his way to Jerusalem. There he is, right in the area of the temple and so forth. Notice the verse says, Simon, a Cyrenian, was coming out of the country and passing by where Jesus was. At Passover, it is estimated that there were 2 million people in Jerusalem. They came from all over the known world to worship. So the city is crowded. There's no place to stay. And this man apparently got as far as he could and finally had to stay out of town somewhere. He now is making his way into the city, apparently to come as to be part of the worship. According to the text, it is now around 9 o'clock in the morning. His simple obedience leads him to come to the place where he sees crucifixions taking place. He's there to celebrate Passover. He's going to meet the Passover lamb. And he didn't expect it. Simple obedience. I think that's what God wants from all of us. Simple obedience. You'll be surprised the way you will come in contact with Jesus Christ by simply being obedient to the Lord. Second word, submission. Wait till you see what happens. This man's plans are going to be changed. Like most of us, he had plans that day. He's come 1,000 miles. He's getting close to Jerusalem, but he has to stay out somewhere outside the city. But it's now Passover time, and so into the city he comes. And at the moment that he comes in and enters the city, there's an execution going on. Now, by the way, executions were often done along the roadside. We don't know exactly where Jesus was crucified. Doesn't matter. But we do know that this man sees the huge crowds, and then there's all this disturbance going on, and so he's standing in the crowd. watching what's taking place. And suddenly, one of the Roman soldiers turns and apparently either grabs him or says, "Come here." As Jesus is trying to get up to Calvary, he's been so beaten and so bloodied and so emaciated. Remember, the prophet Isaiah says, when you looked at his face when he was crucified, you couldn't tell it was a man. He was that torn up. He cannot carry the cross. And so he apparently stumbles repeatedly, to which the soldier turns, takes a quick look, and finds a foreigner. Because what's going to happen here, the soldier cannot do this to someone who is a citizen. But foreigners, they have the privilege by Roman law to force them into service or to help. So he turns and he tells this man, "Come here, carry his cross." And Simon is forced to do it. I need to give you a parenthesis here. I want to show you, I want to prove to you again this particular Roman law. I'll tell you what the law is in short. If there's a particular need that the Roman soldiers had, they could get someone who was not a citizen. And by the way, the Jewish people were subject to this because they're not accepted by the Romans. And the Jewish people could many times be forced into service to do something. Put your finger here. Would you turn back to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5? Matthew, chapter 5. Our Lord is speaking in Matthew, chapter 5. Drop down, if you will, to verse 41. In fact, Jesus is in the context here. He says, verse 39, "I tell you, don't resist an evil person." So he's talking about people who are evil or enemies. Verse 41. "And whoever compels you to go a mile," Jesus said, "go with him two," meaning 2 miles. You say, what does that mean? Jesus knew the Roman law, and he's saying to the Jewish people, so if they force you to go a mile, if a Roman soldier was walking along, he's got all of his pack and everything, and he's having trouble, he could look at a Jewish person and say, "Come here, I want you to carry this to the next mile marker." And the law said they were supposed to do it. Jesus is saying to the Jewish people, if they force you to go a mile and carry their equipment, when you get to the milestone, carry it a second mile. Now you will have the opportunity to tell him why you're willing to do that. Sweetly do it, and you can tell him about what the Lord means to you and what your life is, to which I would say to all of us, if you're forced to go a second mile, your plans are interrupted this week, and you are forced to carry someone's cross, remember what Jesus said about the second mile. Stop complaining. Take it in the providence of God. And that person that you think is a burden to you, or the cross that's a burden to you that you're carrying, carry it a second mile. That makes the difference. So here's this man who simply came to worship. He had plans that day, and everything changed. If your plans change this week, what we should say is, in a quiet prayer, okay, Lord, this is not what I planned, and I didn't think I was going to have to carry this. Thank you, Lord. I need to be willing to go the second mile with this person. So this man was obedient, and he was submissive. So if you go back to our text in Mark, notice it says, look at the wording again. Verse 21. Then they compelled a certain man. Compelled. They drafted him. They forced him. They demanded of him, carry the cross up to Calvary. And Simon the Cyrenian, the father of Alexander and Rufus, as he was coming out of the country and passing by, bore Jesus' cross. He carried Jesus' cross to Calvary. He was simply obedient. Then he was submissive. But it's not what he planned. I say again, and I already know after I preach this, the Lord sometimes tests the preacher. There may be things that I face this week that I didn't plan. Remember your sermon, Jerry. If you end up carrying a cross that you didn't want to carry, or you think it's a burden that you didn't want to carry, just remember what Jesus said about the second mile. And then you can make a difference in someone's life. Obedience, submission, third word, transformation. Here's something interesting. Did you notice? It says, now Mark is writing this gospel. The best historical accounts, the records say that Mark wrote this particular gospel when he was in Rome. Okay? But as he writes, he says, this is under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, of course, then they compelled or draft or forced into service a certain man, Simon a Cyrenian, the father of Alexander and Rufus. Well, who cares? I mean, nobody cares. But the Spirit of God, every word that is in the Bible is there for a reason and a purpose. And this next thing I'm going to show you, we don't know for sure, but here's what we think. Would you turn to the book of Romans, chapter 16, Romans 16, and verse 13. Now, when you look at it already, you could see from verse 6, 7, and 8, he's greeting people and so forth, and most of us skip over all that. But when he gets down to verse 13, he says, oh, greet Rufus. Rufus? Chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine. The church knew who Rufus was. Now, do we know for sure that this Rufus is the one that is, his father is Simon? We don't know for sure. But I think when they were reading the Gospel of Mark, which was written from Rome, we think that as they're reading that, they knew who he was and they knew the family. And interesting that in the book of Romans, by the way, tell Rufus and his family hi for me. Is it possible that this man became a follower, a committed follower of Jesus Christ, this man who carried his cross? Maybe he already believed in Jehovah, but he comes into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Is that possible? I think it is. And the early church knew all about it. And look what happened. Who would have thought? This man who was forced to carry Jesus' cross. Now his children are following the Lord. He's the father of Rufus and so forth. You don't know what decisions you're making right now, mom and dad, that'll make the difference in your kids' lives. In fact, let me tell you, you made a good decision this morning. You say, what is that? You came to church and you brought your kids. Did you see them get up and leave and go to the other building? You know what they're going to hear? The Word of God. Here's a man who was forced to carry Jesus' cross. Not what he thought he wanted to do, but he did it. And look at the result and the impact it apparently had. Can you imagine what it was like to carry his cross? Now turn to Luke 9. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 9. Listen to this again. In Luke chapter 9, verse 23, Jesus is speaking. Then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Oh. I have self boxed in my Bible. We have to deny ourselves and then take up your cross daily. I'm not just preaching. Every day I try, first thing at the beginning of the day, to realize that I am to pick up his cross. I'm to carry Jesus' cross. I sometimes even picture myself thinking, and the scripture says that Simon the Cyrenian, apparently Jesus was in front of him, and he was following him, carrying the cross. It says he followed him. Then Jesus, in this passage, says, by the way, all of us, if you're going to follow me, Jesus said, did you see his words? You're going to follow me? Then you need to pick up my cross every day and reckon yourself to be dead to me. When I think of the cross, I know I'm saved by my faith in Christ, but I also realize that daily we are to pick up our cross. Lay aside Jerry Lancaster's desires and all of the conveniences that I want and reckon myself to be dead with Christ every day. When Jesus died, God saw me dying with him. I'll never forget. My pastor that under whom I was saved, 40 years, 50, 40 some years later, having lunch with him And I knew he had gone through some horrible experiences, which I'll save for a different time. And all those years later, he brought it up at lunch. I would never have brought up all the stuff he went through. And he said to me, "Jerry, I just want to tell you something. I know that was such a hard time for me." And he said, "But you know what I always said to myself when people said things or did things?" His name was Mitch, his first name. He said, "I always said to myself, okay, Mitch, don't worry about what they said. You died almost 2,000 years ago. They can say what you want. They want. I'm dead with Christ. I'm going to do whatever I need to do to reach souls for Christ and to live for Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about." Oh my goodness. Wow. By the way, do you want to know one of the ways you can prove whether or not you are taking up your cross each day? You're in Luke. Here comes the proof. How do we know that we are genuinely believers in Christ? He says in verse 26, "For whosoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his glory," and so forth. Oh. How do we demonstrate that we are genuine believers? What do I say and how do I act in the presence of unbelievers? Am I ashamed of Jesus? That's a good test. We shouldn't be. Because after all, we, spiritually speaking, got on the cross that morning, right? And reckoned ourselves to be dead with Christ. He saved us. He'll care for us and take us to heaven. That's Simon, the Cyrenian, who carried the cross of Jesus. What a powerful thought.